From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Adams Point.
I'm from East Oakland.
I live in West Oakland.
Tenderloin.
The Mission.
I live in the Bayview Hunters Point in San Francisco.
Coming up, we visit one of the nation's first LGBTQ studies classes for high school students.
With all the media attention, I didn't realize how rare it was to have this opportunity.
And we'll meet a musician who can get to know you by the sound of your voice.
When I hear someone on the phone, I can figure out how is the state of mind of that person because I hear the voice through the phone.
And we'll find out the answer to this week's Audiograph Mystery Sound.
This is not a photo opportunity. This is Native American Church.
Illuminating history today on Cross Currents. This year, students at San Francisco's School of the Arts walked into a brand new kind of class, the district's first ever LGBTQ studies class for high school students. The class is one of the first in the nation. KALW's Lizak Shalit reports on how it's going and how we got here.
Meet Lindsay Schlacks, the teacher in room 204 at San Francisco's School of the Arts.
We're going to start talking about trans, not just transgender, but the big umbrella.
For the past 8 years, Ms. Schlacks has started the school day talking to her students about economics and U.S. government. This year, she's focusing on something different, the big umbrella of lesbian, gay, bi, transgender, and queer, or LGBTQ, studies. She's teaching one of the nation's first, if not the only, high school classes on the subject.
It's history, and it's politics and government, and it's media awareness, and it's literature, and it's film. And so it's very, very, very interdisciplinary. There's a ton of art in here, a ton of poetry.
And a ton of videos, songs, films, podcasts, and TV shows, like Last Week Tonight with John Oliver.
This has clearly been a big week for the LGBT community, but it's also been a big year for the T part of that equation.
So we use I use as much technology as I can to keep it relevant and interesting and engaging. We can watch old news reports. We can watch documentaries. There isn't yet a textbook for high school students about LGBTQ studies. So instead, they listen to all of these stories.
Schlacks actually crowdfunded for MP3 players this summer to make sure all her students could do the coursework. Things like watching this YouTube video of transgender activist Laverne Cox.
I'm an actress. I'm a producer. I'm a writer. I'm a daughter. I'm a sister. And I'm a transgender woman.
So you've probably heard of Laverne Cox at this point. She is one of the most vocal and the most visual trans activists out there.
Schlacks says the class came about because the San Francisco School Board recognized the relevance of LGBTQ issues to its students. Like teenagers everywhere, many are grappling with sexual identity. Schlacks wants to make sure students hear from as many different voices as possible.
We're hoping to be able to have a Skype session with a film director later on in the year. And to make sure that the voices that are being heard in this class are not just mine, that they are the voices of the people who are a part of the LGBTQ community.
Many of those people live in San Francisco, so the students use the city as their classroom.
First, we're attending the Castro Museum, and then we're going to the new installation of the Tenderloin Museum about trans history in Compton's cafeteria.
That's Kira Monterosa, a senior with green streaks in her hair. She's talking about the Compton's cafeteria riot. It took place in 1966 at the corner of Taylor and Turk in the Tenderloin after police harassment of the restaurant's transgender clientele.
I think it's a really good way to recognize the history that we walk amongst every day.
Sophomore Izzy Vasquez, arms adorned with a serious collection of string bracelets, is thrilled to be learning about local events that paralleled national milestones in the fight for gay rights.
Well, and the whole Compton's cafeteria riot was so similar to what happened in Stonewall, which was the big movement. It was just really interesting to learn that San Francisco had so much history similar to the Stonewall movement. It was really cool to learn about that.
Senior Selena Wen is excited about classroom visits from longtime activists, like the former teacher who fought California's Proposition 6, which would have banned gay people from teaching in public schools.
We had
for the teachers, the bill against gay teachers, we actually had Tom...
A classmate jumps in to complete the sentence.
Tom Amiano.
He came in and talked to us about what it was like to be a teacher during the time when the bill was trying to get passed.
He was the first teacher in, I believe, the San Francisco Unified School District to come out as a gay teacher.
Amiano co-founded the No on Six campaign with Harvey Milk, San Francisco's first openly gay supervisor. Here's Milk in November 1978, announcing the measure's defeat.
A lot of people joined us and rejected Proposition 6, and now we owe them something. We owe them to continue the education campaign that took place. We must destroy the myths once and for all, shatter them.
3 weeks later, Milk was murdered in City Hall, along with San Francisco Mayor George Moscone.
And every time I walk by the Harvey Milk Civil Rights Academy, which was Douglas School when I first moved here in the early 1970s, it not only reminds me of Harvey, who I loved dearly, but also just what a wonderful symbol it is that a public grade school would be named after a gay rights hero.
Gay rights activist Cleve Jones has seen a lot of change since he arrived in San Francisco as a young man in the 70s.
When I was in school, of course, there was no such thing as a gay-straight alliance.
Jones was an aide to Harvey Milk and later created the AIDS Memorial Quilt. Today, he visits high schools all over the country, and he says that talking about homosexuality with young people no longer raises eyebrows.
I really come from the last generation of homosexual people who, as we were coming of age, did not know that there were other people like us.
Back in the classroom, students are preparing a column for San Francisco's Bay Times newspaper, where they write on issues like being a good ally. Sophomore Izzy Vasquez says the class helps students validate their own experiences.
It's hard to feel empowered when you feel alone in what's going on in with your struggle, specifically, and with your friends' struggles.
And senior Kira Monterosa feels like she's in the vanguard.
I feel like it's history in the making because it's something that's never been offered, and I didn't realize, like, with all the media attention, I didn't realize how rare it was to have this opportunity.
So, when the semester ends, what grade will these students give their teacher?
Definitely an A.
More than an A.
A plus 100.
Yeah, an A. She's doing a really great job and a really great thing.
San Francisco schools have changed a lot since the controversies over homosexuals in the classroom. And perhaps the fact that these students find nothing surprising about LGBTQ studies in their school marks the biggest change of all. In San Francisco, I'm Lizak Shalit for Cross Currents.
This is Cross Currents. I'm Henat Baba. The human voice is a demanding instrument. Handling it requires precision and skill, but for composer and musician Sylvia Nakash, it's more than a tool to make pretty sounds. She sees it as a gateway to spiritual growth. Nakash's musical philosophies are influenced by both Western and Eastern traditions. She was born in Argentina and attended Mills College in Oakland before meeting the person who would become her teacher for more than 30 years, Ali Akbar Khan, a great maestro of Indian classical music. Her own music has an ethereal, haunting quality that can transport listeners beyond everyday reality. She teaches students what she calls yoga of the voice in classes at the California Institute of Integral Studies and at the Vox Mundi Project, an international school that she founded. Her book, Free Your Voice, lays out her philosophy along with original exercises for opening the voice.
We have tuning forks to create some sounds, to tune the space. I'm Sylvia Nakash. What I am is a musician, composer. So I chant and sing and work specifically with helping people to open their voice. When I hear someone on the phone and I even don't know that person, I can figure out how is the state of mind of that person because I hear the voice through the phone. My book, they insisted, the publisher insisted that it has to be practical. It's about the spirituality behind the voice and the music, but also has 108 practices. Practices that help you to feel free. If you're free, you're relaxed. And if you're free and relaxed, you can open. For example, whispering voices. It's very, very liberating. Singing to disappear is you do it with a background drone, D-R-O-N-E. Voice loved to be accompanied. So I have to become one, no separation, one, yoga, with this particular sound. When I feel comfortable and I know I am in that particular acoustic landscape, I start moving up and down. It's like being alone in a little corner in your home, discovering how one note makes love with the other. And I don't know why, my students are crazy about that. They love it. When I realized the power of the drone, and my students are professional singers, have so much problem tuning, and if I put a drone in the back, they can tune. Nobody's out of tune. They just didn't play enough with the drone. So when I met my teacher, Ali Akbar Khan, I started crying. There is a quality of devotion, love, in the transmission of the music in the East that I didn't find in so many years of studying in the West. It's about how you render and how you listen and how you slow down and how you serve with the music. That is an experience that I need to share with people. I cannot give you any formula to open the voice of a person because all peoples are different. But I can listen, and I can listen what that voice wants to express. What is that voice requesting? What is the spiritual quality that needs to be liberated? Spirituality for me is about becoming more subtle, moving from gross to subtle. And the more subtle that we can listen, the more subtle that we can become musically, the happiest.
That was Sylvia Nakash. Her story was produced by KALW's Judy Silber. You can find other stories, blogs, and links from The Spiritual Edge at thespiritualedge.org. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Henat Baba. And now it's time for Audiograph, the Bay Area's sonic signature. Here's KALW's Julie Kane.
All week long, we've been playing you a sound that happens every year in the middle of San Francisco Bay.
This is not a photo opportunity. This is Native American church.
Think you know what that was and where we recorded it? KALW's Jeremy Dalmas got up extra early on Thanksgiving Day to bring us the answer.
It's 4 a.m. on Thanksgiving Day, and I'm getting on a ferry bound for Alcatraz. The boat is packed. On the lower deck, I find 2 men singing. They're bundled up in big jackets. We're crossing the bay to celebrate the indigenous people's annual Thanksgiving sunrise gathering. More than 4,000 people will make this journey to Alcatraz today.
Mrs. Du, Kankerat Pakarat, your seats. Hello, my name is Wichak Biluta Candelaria. I'm Rumson Aloni from the Bay Area and Mescalero Apache from New Mexico.
Candelaria finishes up his song. He's here with his family.
I live in the East Bay in the village of Huchin, also known as Oakland. We're singing traditional California-style clapper stick songs, and that song that we just sang was a song for the bears that are dancing in the night.
It's still dark when we reach the island. People wrap themselves in blankets against the cold.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Ohlone Land. You're out here near the village of Yolamu, occupied Ohlone Land.
People have been coming here every year since 1974 to celebrate Native culture and to have an alternative to traditional Thanksgiving. But they also come to celebrate the island's role in the birth of the American Indian movement. American Indians occupied Alcatraz 3 times in the 1960s. Most notably for a year and a half, starting in 1969.
This is not a photo opportunity. This is Native American church.
On a large ledge overlooking the Bay Bridge and the San Francisco skyline, hundreds gather in a circle around a large bonfire.
The sacred fire was lit by Eloy and the people who stayed here overnight to make sure that this fire was alive and welcoming us.
Inside the circle, there are speeches, prayers, and performances from many different groups. All Nations Drum begins an honor dance for veterans of the occupation of Alcatraz.
At this time, we want to call on any Alcatraz veterans come out.
Rania Modavar is leading off to the side of the circle. He goes by Tox.
That's my native name, Tox.
He was here during the original occupation.
Yes, yes, yes. I was 14 years old. We got shanghaied by an uncle. We thought we were going to the liquor store. Got on the freeway, and we ended up here. Okay? So we were stuck here, man. Man, they had boats running back and forth.
He stayed for 3 months.
Because on the front, down on the bottom, in big red letters, big red paint, it said, "Return surplus lands back to Indians." And when you drive up on the boat, it's the first thing you saw, man.
Some of that graffiti is still up. As you dock at the island, it says Indians welcome. He says that they slept in prison cells that had been abandoned after the prison closed in 1963, 6 years before the occupation began.
Where else were we going to sleep? They had mattresses, blankets, you know, it was good. We had bonfires out here, man, from the city. Coming in, hey man, you can see the bonfire out here, man, it was bad.
That was more than 40 years ago, but it still gets to him.
It was a part of history, man, that I never thought I would be a part of. Don't get me wrong, but it makes me feel important just to be a part of it.
A group of Aztec dancers gather near the bonfire. No one is allowed to record their prayer, but after it's over, I talk to one of the dancers. Karen Marin.
Well, when we go in there, what we're doing is praying. I feel like a lot of people don't understand that it's not kind of just jumping around and turning and squatting. It's not an exercise. It's more of a prayer.
Marin lives in San Leandro, and she's been coming here with her family for 15 years.
Everything has its own little meaning, but like my mom today was wearing skulls. We've been going through a cancer battle with my brother, so it's just her way of, you know, praying for him and just asking, you know, for healing and stuff. So it's a medicine, and a lot of people that come here take it as a medicine, something, you know, like I said, for healing.
Radley Davis from the Pitt River Tribe in Northern California starts to sing. As more ferries arrive at the dock, the circle swells to thousands of people.
My name is Samson Wolf. I'm an enrolled member of the Muskogee Nation.
Yesterday, Wolf set up a teepee on the side of the circle. Like a lot of people here, he's not a fan of how Americans typically celebrate Thanksgiving.
This is really an un-Thanksgiving for us because, as you, I don't know if you heard today, but it was they're celebrating the slaughter of a tribe of people.
He didn't go to sleep last night, but it's well worth it for him.
So we have traditional dancers here, local dancers, and people from all over, all walks of life come here. These nice ladies from Hawaii gave me this beautiful lei, you know, and they sang here. Sometimes we have monks here from Japan, Maori dancers and singers, Hawaiians, the Mexicas, and a lot of local tribes. And today we had the black people representing the Black Lives Matter today. So this has evolved into like a multicultural event now. And it's really awesome. I mean, you were here today and you, did you like it? Did you have a good time? Yeah, me too.
As the sun starts rising over the Bay Bridge, people start warming up.
We need a song to welcome the sun so we can all acknowledge another day that Grandfather Sun is coming.
Cross, everybody get up, face the sun, give respect to the sun. Thank you, I hope.
At 9 a.m., everyone has to leave the island. Tomorrow, Alcatraz will fill up again with thousands of tourists. But the first thing they'll see as they come off the ferry is the giant red graffiti left over from the occupation. For Cross Currents, I'm Jeremy Dalmas.
This week's audiograph is dedicated to John Trudell. Trudell led the American Indian movement in the 1970s and played a major role in the Alcatraz occupation.
Alcatraz is nothing but a rock to many people, but it's our rock, and we can develop it and we can make things work for the Indian people. So it's more than just a rock to us. It's maybe a stepping stone to a better future.
That was American Indian Movement leader John Trudell in a 1969 interview during the occupation of Alcatraz. Trudell died on Tuesday in Santa Clara County. A lot of you knew where we recorded Audiograph this week, and our winner is Maxwell Love. Congratulations, Maxwell. We're going to send you a KALW t-shirt. Audiograph is going on a break for the holidays, but we'll be back in January to bring you more sonic stories from around the Bay Area. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Julie Kane.
Thanks, Julie. If you've got ideas for where we should record next, tell us about them at news@kalw.org. We love hearing from you because we can proudly say we're listener-supported public radio. Our team includes Shireen Adil, Leela Day, Audrey Dilling, Nina Gensler-Debs, Chris Hoff, Angela Johnston, Ian Lewis, Casey Miner, Ted Muldoon, Raja Shah, and Stephen Short. Today's show was engineered by James Rowlands. The line producer was Hannah Kingsley-Ma. Our managing editor is Jen Chien. Managing producer is Julie Kane. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. This music is by Beats Antique. They're appearing at this year's Emeralds Cup Cannabis Festival at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds on Sunday. They start at 7 o'clock. For Cross Currents, I'm Hanat Baba. We'll be right back.